Welcome to My OP Movies. This week we're talking, the only reason we're talking about this is because Mortal Kombat came out the week this drops, so.
Right.
And we've done the first one, so I guess we're fucking stuck with
Sign
Mortal
up for
Kombat.
The Patreon. Sign up for the Patreon.
Yeah. We were stuck with Mortal Kombat Annihilation from 1997, starring Robin Chu and no one else who came back.
Teresa Soto, and that's about it.
Yeah, those two. That's it.
Who's like Gal Gadot's mom or cousin or something, because she looks and sounds exactly like her.
And about has the same acting range as well.
Yeah. And we are doing this abomination. This is not a movie. This is also the lowest rated film we've ever done. It's got a 2% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh my God.
Embrace the transcendent agony.
Yeah, I'm Nick Hoffman, host of Myopia and Riff Center Problem Panel. We have...
And I'm Atlanta author Matthew W. Quinn. Check out the Kickstarter for the Humans Are the Problem anthology. I want to send a story there.
Good.
Nor Trinette. I'm a broken record, but I promise you Norcast is coming. It is happening. I don't know when it's happening, but Nick, please help me happen.
It will happen.
Christopher Staff, and I'm just here because Nick Hoffman's a good friend of mine.
Yeah, there we were at Taco Mac back in the day talking about the movie podcast, and he kept going, I want to be on that show one day. And I sent him the list, and he goes, I've seen Mortal Kombat Annihilation. I'll do your show. I'll play your games, Hoffman. I'll play your games.
True story.
I was at St. Augustine at 3 in the morning, and the beer began to take hold.
Dude, we were probably watching some mediocre Braves game, barely paying attention, on like round number 3 at this Taco Mac, and they're just like, yeah, we'll do it one day. We'll figure it out. Maybe it'll be a historical movie, or maybe it'll be Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
True story.
Smash cut to the end of the previous movie with all different actors. I don't know who approved this idea, but when you start a movie by showing in another entire cast and then all of a sudden Raiden turns into someone else, you have to throw out your movie. Like, you can't do this.
Yeah, Christopher Lambert read the script and didn't like it, so he quit.
He did.
Because now they have some other random dude who I don't know.
Oh, you don't know
playing
this guy.
An Asian Thunder.
Oh, James Remar.
James Remar, man.
And also, like, I guess to follow what Matt said, I guess Brigitte Wilson read this and said, I'll marry Pete Sampras before I do another movie.
That's right.
They improved Sonya in this one. Most of the movies, the first movie, spent getting taken hostage, been perved on by Shang Tsung.
Oh, big time, right?
Now she just whoops up on everybody and has a cat fight.
Well, to be fair, they do put Katana in a birdcage for 90% of this movie.
Yes, they do.
And then they drop it on Shiva.
Because that's the only way you could kill her, right? Because I bet the original idea was...
budget.
Yeah.
But, we can't fight with her. Let's just kill her with a birdcage.
Nora, it's funny you say that because I nicked this. And you know that when this film got approved, it had a $30 million budget. Which in 1997 was a significant amount of money.
Yeah.
With this Windows 98 CGI?
Dude,
yes. $30 million?
When Reptile shows up, it's like someone forgot to move the mouse and a screensaver kicked in. Like, this is nightmare fuel. And it's all shiny teeth.
here's my issue with the movie. But here's the thing. When the movie, the best part of this movie is the opening, and that's only when that New Line Cinema comes in. And the music is the only good thing about this movie. That is the only good thing, because I got so hype.
Dude, this is the only movie we've done where it screams its name before there's anything on screen.
Hey, we're not watching.
That's right. We should have done this one. Myopia Podcast. Dude. I mean, more movies, like Citizen Kane. Like, Schindler's List. Like, you could do it with anything.
The Boy in the Striped Pajamas.
Ooh, that's
No. We're going down a dark path here. Black Panther. They could have done it with Black Panther. So we're replacing... Christopher Lambert with James Remar. It's like, I don't know, man. It's like an ex-boyfriend showing up. It's just weird. He's like, I'm your new stepdad. James Remar. I'm here to help
and then,
you out.
And they replaced Lyndon Ashby as Johnny Cage with some guy who quit acting for 10 years to be a high school teacher.
That's about right.
Probably more reliable money.
Oh, guaranteed.
I apologize if called this racism, but I could not tell the difference between the two actors. I thought it was like,
I thought it was the same dude.
I'm like, okay, what's up?
It's a guy named Chris Conrad, apparently. I have no idea.
And the thing is that what was it about... All right, Robin Shue came back. 1997 was not a good year for Robin Shue because... No. Besides Mortal Kombat Annihilation, he was also in Beverly Hills Ninja.
Is that a stay tune?
Yeah, and which, by the way, was a movie that I think was the last film. Chris Farley was in. He was in Dirty Work before he died. So that was a year later.
And he was in that one with. What's it called? The one where he's like Lewis and Clark's competitor?
Yes, Almost Heroes.
Almost Heroes.
He was in Almost Heroes right before he died, but. The thing is that, you know, poor Robin Shue, he's the only one who decided to do this. Everybody else were either models or stunt people.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is what happens when you have models with no acting range and stunt people who are stunt people for a reason because they're very athletic and they're willing to take risks for not as much money as regular actors will.
Well, don't worry, they did not put any money into acting either.
Which, by the way, once again, makes you wonder, right? Okay, it was a $30 million budget. There were no major stars, so they're not taking, you know, like, you know, a good chunk of the budget. So where was the money going here?
Somebody's nose.
This is a money laundering scheme. If the producer was a Gotti, I would have completely believed it.
I think as the coming off of the popularity of the first movie that came out, was that 95?
Yeah, 95.
It was 3. And then going into the 97 movie, I think just licensing for these characters got so expensive because of just how popular they were. Because there was a lot of characters in this movie compared to the first one.
Oh, absolutely.
So I think just because of that...
Everyone is a cameo, though. Like, other than our big four, everyone's on screen for, like, 45... Smoke is dead before you realize he's Smoke.
Yes.
Ermac is like, I'm sorry I didn't kill him. And then he's thrown into a pit! He's on screen for maybe 45 seconds.
I think that was Rain.
That was Rain.
Ermac is the one who... killed by Sonya Blade.
Who tries to dogpile Sonya with a clone of himself.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Was that Noob Saibot?
Yes,
that
was Noob Saibot.
The fact that they all are in here for... Like, and again, Nightwolf almost plays a part in the plot, but he's on screen for 30 seconds? 45 seconds?
Yeah, that was Lightfoot. He actually had a career of sorts at the time.
That's why I wanted to ask y'all. Why did Lightfoot say yes to this?
Call Conquer and Indian in the cupboard.
He's the entire budget. Like, because this was like, what, a year after Indian in the cupboard?
2 years later, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so while they made the first Mortal Kombat, he made Indian in the cupboard, and then it was like, you know what I could do to really up my Q quotient? What were they thinking with this movie?
I don't know.
At least they cast a Native American character, the Native American actor.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
And it makes me wonder, because, you know, this is the mid-90s, which means that there were only three actors who were doing Native American roles, which was Graham Greene, Wes Studi, and Lightfoot.
Yeah.
And so I guess Wes Studi.
You have your young guy, your medium guy, and your old guy.
Exactly, right? Yes.
Yeah. Wes Studi would be the wizened old guy. Like, if Nightwolf was the chief, and they would have called him the chief, right?
Of course.
It would have been Wes Studi sitting in the corner, like, looking grizzled. It's like, that's the kind of roles you did in, like, even things like X-Files, where you just show up, you're like, oh, yeah, he's the wise one. And you're just like, oh, God.
Or our previous episode, Deep Rising.
Oh, he's so good in Deep Rising. But, I mean, you should read the cast. We won't get into it. Brian Thompson as Shao Kahn, we got to talk about for the rest of tonight. But there's one dude, J.J. Perry, who's a stuntman, and he plays Cyrax, Scorpion, Noob Saibot, Baraka, everyone that is completely CGI. Yeah,
Baraka looks like he's wearing a Spirit Halloween mask.
He really does.
These people look like they were in the Halloween costumes of their characters. The costumes suck.
Well, the thing I texted Noor and Chris is that this is the porn parody version of itself. Because
This is porn level acting!
Dude.
No, there was better acting in porn. I'm telling you. This is just awful. I mean, there was no sense that, okay, this is going to get good, ever. Like you do in porn. I know you say it like, oh, this is going to get good in other ways, but porn, this one.
There's a climax and there's an ending to it.
And then there's something you can look forward to. There's nothing to look forward to here at all. The acting was just awful. And, you know, I can't wait until we start talking about Brian Thompson because I'm still trying to figure out how he still has a career that time.
We can get into Sindel because we should talk about her because we introduced her. She plays the mother of half of these characters, apparently. She's played by an actress named Musetta Vander. In a movie we've talked about already, she's one of the sirens in Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Oh, yes, she is. That's true.
And she's in Wild Wild West, previous episode. And she's one of the moms in Kicking and Screaming, that Will Ferrell kids soccer movie, which is awful.
Oh, of course, she has range.
She does. But I will say,
she has a career.
She has a career.
In Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, she doesn't do anything other than look sexy, and then they have singing over it. Like, they're lip syncing to an actual soundtrack.
Right,
right.
Wild Wild West, she doesn't have any lines. She's Munisha, one of the women who are on the giant spider.
She one that just kicks out and okay, I got you.
See, you said it like, and that's what she's here. She's just eye candy, but they asked her to act, and it is unfortunate because she's just smiling vacantly this whole time.
Listen, and screaming and making
drugs,
things explode.
Yeah.
That's one of her
flipping
moves.
Flipping her hair. Yeah.
Listen, that's one drugs of her are expensive.
And making,
that's right.
Drugs and are making expensive. Really catty remarks about Katana, who's her daughter, who looks like she's like 5 years younger than she is.
And
there's nothing in real life, and it is 5 years younger.
And then her twin, what's the twin?
Melina.
So Katana and Melina. So Talia Soto gets two paychecks because she's both characters.
So she was Melina?
No. Melina was played by, she was a Taekwondo artist who was actually won a gold medal in 84.
No kidding.
Yeah, and she only had one line, which is, "You wish," and then, you know, she dies.
That's right.
Which was probably the best acting anybody did. And
I think
that was
the best fight. She and Shonya have a designated cat fight. They at one point end up in a mud pit.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah, and you knew that was done just for simple reasons.
Come
that,
on, it was they wanted two ladies running around in the mud.
They wanted to make sure they got a PG-13 rating because they want to make it racy. And I guess just that one scene accomplished that feat because I'm sure that.
Oh, dude, this is such a tenuous PG-13 too, because it gets pretty spicy. I'm gonna get this wrong. Who's the one with four arms? Shiva. Dude, that is a pornographic actress. Like, it has to be. Like, she's held together with latex jumpsuit and CGI nonsense. Those arms are terrible. Her name is Margene Holden. This cast,
I think she's a stunt woman. Yeah,
I'm sure she is. This cast is unfollowable. And yes, Donna He was Melina, and she is that. Oh, by the way, Darth Maul is in this too.
Ray Park
is in this.
Well, he was the stunt double. He played the stunt of Raiden, if I'm not mistaken.
He does. Yeah. He's also one of the ninja guys, the raptors that keep running around.
Yeah.
And he's one of the dudes who's Baraka, because it took, you know, four people to be Baraka in this movie because they just kept walking off set. Mm. They were just like, nah, I'm done with this shit. That's the only thing I can figure.
Another thing that I realized is I'm going to assume that all four of us played Mortal Kombat.
Oh, yeah,
of course.
Did you feel like the entire point of Mortal Kombat Annihilation was to try to get you to feel like you're actually watching somebody play a video game?
I can see that.
Just with the camera angles and the one-on-one fighting.
I can see that, where they randomly put, instead of, I don't know, going with the actual storyline, they were just like, let's just, like me, if me and you or whoever was trying to play the game, and
yes,
like, okay, you're Raiden, and then I'm this character, or it just a random character, because they just wanted to have those people just fight themselves.
Yeah, because the only reason the Melina and Sonya fight happens like it does is because Jax gets huffy and storms off, and then they have the two one-on-one.
Yeah. I want to talk about Jax.
And, you know, think about, the various other scenes that, like, that Katana has when she actually brings out those awful fan-looking things.
Oh, dude, and she can't actually
share on the Facebook page. There is a Japanese fan martial art.
Well, but it's also clearly her special move. Like, I remember them cracking out in the game. However, these props are held together with hope. Like, she can't. Have you seen? Like, she holds them like this. Like, she doesn't do anything with them.
She seems really awkward in this movie compared to the first one.
At least she actually fights instead of just kind of sitting around being mysterious.
Yeah.
No,
and being helpless,
I agree.
Especially in the first film, but still, it was bad. And the thing is that I guess, you know, before there was Gal Gadot, you know, Talisa Soto had to exist, right?
That's right.
And, you know, nowadays, sadly, Talisa Soto is only known for being married to Benjamin Bratt. And I don't know what else. I mean, has she done anything else since? Because I really can't think of anything else.
No. I mean, well, and Benjamin Bratt is also someone who barely has a career. So,
yes, yes.
See previous episode, Catwoman, where he's the male lead.
Oh, my God. In the original movie, Katana, the character was supposed to be played by Cameron Diaz, if I'm not mistaken, right?
That was the word on the street.
That was word on the street, and I think it's like she...
But, you know, by 95, Cameron Diaz had hit it really big with The Mask.
The Mask, yeah.
And that...
Along Polly, or was that after all
this? Cameron Diaz playing Katana, that doesn't... I mean, she looks so wrong.
But, Matt, remember, like, in the first film, they were able to get people like Brigitte Wilson, who was considered, like, a B-level, but still a decent starring actress, leading actress, you know, Christopher Lambert, you know, who was... Highlander, they were able to get, Tagawa.
He should have came back.
Yeah, but, you know, once he read the script, he's like, okay, how much money am I getting? Yeah, never mind.
Yeah, you gotta wonder, too, just, like, there's no script here. Like, no. You keep saying the word script like it means something.
The dialogue in this movie is so awful. We can talk about Shao Kahn, but he has a lot of it.
Yes, and do you think it's Shao Kahn, or do you think it's Brian Thompson... And, you take two bad ideas and it doesn't become a worse idea.
In previous movie Cobra, he wasn't so great either, but mostly that movie just yells pig a lot.
Well, and again, like, he's the dude who you always see as the alien assassin in X-Files. And guess what he doesn't do? Talk! Like, right? Because you know what he is? He's a big, hulking guy. He's probably 6'7". He looks down and growls. You get it. But he's not the second male lead in anything.
They make Shao Kahn this godlike emperor of multiple dimensions he has conquered with his armies into a whiny, obnoxious man-child in karate pants. Shang Tsung in the first movie was scummy, but he was cool. Shao Kahn, who's supposed to have all these people under his control... is a loser.
I felt like he wasn't taking the role seriously.
He was.
Because I felt like half the time he was just laughing his lines under the mask.
He was definitely laughing his lines, but if you think about it, I mean, Matt has a point because Shang Tsung never went to anybody. He, in the first film, he was the boss, and once you defeat him, it was over. And then, you know, they tease it at the, you know, right before the credits roll. But here, in the first, 15 minutes, you already see Shinnok being present, and you can clearly tell that he's in charge of everything, that this was all his design, and Shao Kahn is there just to try to pull it off. And okay, I get it, that all of us who have played Mortal Kombat 2 and Mortal Kombat 3 will realize that, hey, Shao Kahn is the big boss, but we are, we're not told that in this movie, and I'm thinking, okay, that's fine. But is it really his call? If that's the case, why is Shinnok so prominent, you know, throughout the film? When, like, every 20 minutes he comes in.
When does Shinnok even come into the mythology? Because I thought Shao Kahn is a big bad of 2 and 3.
So Shinnok is part of the becomes part of the story once Mortal Kombat 4 is introduced, and he's the god of he's not god of wind. Because that's Fujin, right?
Yeah.
But he is one of the Elder Gods, and he is a playable character, and he's a great character to play with. But he looks nothing like the actor who...
Now, Nor's giving a very confused face. He's right.
No. Here's the thing. So I only really got into the Mortal Kombat games until recently, into the late 2010s.
Sure.
Because I wasn't allowed to play those games because of how gory it was. Even though it was just like...
Oh yeah, neither was I. That was the arcade.
By the way, you're right. This is something I played at, like, friends sleepovers, right? Like, it was something that older
brothers
bought.
And I never got to do sleepover, so never.
Yeah. And you had to get the Nintendo, Super NES version, which was bloodless. You couldn't get the Sega version because it was too gory.
Yeah. So in Nintendo version, when you punch someone's sweat would fly off instead of blood. Okay, so what we need to actually do is talk about the plot, because we haven't yet. So there is the slightest whiff of a plot. So the whole thing is that after the first Mortal Kombat, there's 10 straight years we have to win. And if they win, they can't take over this realm. But then Shao Kahn breaks the rules, and so...
Like 15 minutes.
That's right. And then the whole previous movie doesn't matter.
No, no.
So, Lord Raiden has to go to the Elder Gods to figure out what's going on, and they're no big help. Meanwhile, Sonya's got to go find Jax, who we've already mentioned. Dude, Johnny Cage is just flat out fucking killed in the first 10 minutes. He does the shadow kick, and then they break his neck, and he's actually dead. I thought he was going to come back, but yeah, nope, he's dead.
In the game, there's this whole thing where his soul kind of wanders around the world, or the realms or whatever, and he returns to life, but nope, he's dead.
No, yeah, done. Like, I almost expected them to, like, punch one of the robots, and he was Johnny Cage secretly, or you take off Ermac's mask, and hey, no, he's just dead.
Yeah, I guess they want us to think Shao Kahn is impressive that he can just kill Johnny Cage like that.
Literally.
Yeah, really.
I wonder if it was a contract thing, where it's like, I'm going to die in the first 15 minutes of this movie.
No, I'm still getting paid, though, right?
Right.
No, well, to be fair, I guess they had to make it after Lyndon Ashby said, you know, I still have a thing with Melrose Place. I'd rather do that than this.
Lyndon Ashby saying no should tell you maybe we don't need to make a movie this year, right? Because, I mean, let's not forget, this is New Line Cinema. 96 is Scream, one of the biggest movies of the year, one of their biggest hits until 2001's The Fellowship of the Ring. They had money, they had fame, they should have made a movie. This is not a movie.
Yeah, this is like something, a cheap-ass thing you do to make sure you keep the rights.
That's right.
Like those eight Hellraiser direct-to-video ones.
Right, or the Roger Corman Fantastic Four movie, which, oh my god, that's fun. That, but those are fun movies. This is a goings-on. This is something that happens in the past.
This is entertaining, but it's so profoundly stupid. The times I laugh they probably weren't. I wasn't supposed to.
That's my Rate My Professor review.
That's almost an oxymoron. That's right, but still,
I mean, it's unintentionally hilarious. It's never boring, but it's stupid.
Hoffman, you mentioned the plot, but there's no plot. Oh, no, really, no. Because as soon as this is the other problem I have with the movie. Why are you going to show me the plot of the first movie with different characters if you're not going to even use any of that?
Dude, that's the best part, because it's like, previously on Mortal Kombat. And they show the last 45 seconds of the movie, and then there's a smash cut, and all the actors are different. Like, if you're the editor of this film, you got to be like, I quit. Like, there's no... It's a jib jab, too. Like, this is awful.
It's a student movie, basically.
That's right. Okay, so... Mm-hmm. Sonya, well, first we go to the core of the Earth. I don't know where they go. They go underground to, like, the inner core. Like, this is, like, Alex Jones conspiracy nonsense. And there are these spheres that, using the gas of the planet, can go faster than the speed of sound.
And people in them are, like, practically on top of each other. So you have Liu Kang and Katana, like...
Pretty much having sex.
Raiden and Sonya, that's you have Christopher Lambert in full creepy mode, like, oh, this is nice.
Oh, dude, James Remar goes from being dad to, like, creepy stepdad. Like, it's all weird. This is weird.
It is weird.
They come out on the backside of the Earth. Sonya has to go find Jax.
In, like, Hawaii or something.
This pissed me off about Jax. Jax is my favorite Mortal Kombat character. And basically, first of all, he's on as we see Jax, he's on this operating table. Where are the surgeons, by the way? He just by himself. There's no budget. And he has these freaking arm condoms. Basically, how Sebastian Stan put on his arm for the Falcon and Winter Soldier, basically. And, like, I just hated him. And I just... But here's the thing. I hated the character Jax, but I saw myself in him. Not because of, you know, he's black, but because he had no idea what the fuck was going on in this movie. He's like, where are we? Who are you? Huh?
And they get territorial.
Who's Tommy? And I just...
Did you see Elder Gods?
He also has, like, the worst lines in all the movie. They decided, you know what? You know, and Leonetti, like, I told Nick earlier that Joe Leonetti, who directed this film, this was his directorial debut. Up to this point, all he had done was be a cinematographer, a bunch of, like, bad action movies. And I don't know how he got the authority to be the director of this. And the thing is I also think about the people who wrote this, which was actually the guys like Ed Boon, who created Mortal Kombat. And they were super excited. Years later, they have, and just recently, they have come out and said that they regretted doing Annihilation, and I'm like, yeah, no, that's kidding. Like 90 minutes I'll never get back. Actually, about if you think about it, it's 4.5 hours I'll never get back because I've seen the movie 3 times.
That's right.
So the guys who made Mortal Kombat the game wrote the script for this atrocity.
Well, yes, they did.
They hated it.
And they regretted it even now.
Did they do it like some drunken weekend where they forgot they wrote it?
Oh, like,
you know, Matt, I like to think that would be a viable excuse, but knowing them, they took it very seriously. And I think for them, where they didn't, while they had the they had the licensing in the first film, they didn't have any real say in the first film. I think in this one, they're like, no. We want this to be like Mortal Kombat 3. So if we're going back to the video game, they were pretty much admitting to me they were very ashamed of Mortal Kombat 2 because they didn't have any of the characters from Mortal Kombat 2 except Baraka.
Yeah, and Jax. Don't forget Jax.
Yeah, and Jax.
Smoke.
Yeah. Smoke was kind of, yeah, but you know, there was no Kentaro. Melina, yeah, was Melina in the second one?
I think she was.
Made her debut in the third one.
Well, because by this point, the third one was out, I think, 97.
Yeah, true. Because the dead Johnny Cage story is from one of the later ones.
Right.
I wonder if they wrote the script or they just handed the booklet from the front of the Sega cartridge and then someone else had to make a movie.
It seemed like they just said, hey, just play Mortal Kombat 3 and this is what we want. And this is the movie we want, right down to Motaro and Shiva. And Queen Sindel. And the thing is that, so you talk about, was there really a script? No. But there was an idea, but the idea came from a video game. This movie just made me realize that it set the standard for every U-Bowl movie ever made in the 2000s.
Well put.
Of just not just bad casting, but also like no real direction. And on top of that, you add in, like you had said earlier about special effects or lack thereof, it really looked like it was made with Windows 95, which it probably was. I know I said it before, and I have to say it again, they were given a $30 million budget for this, which is pretty big. Where did this go? They obviously did not, did they spend it most on travel? I mean... No. They didn't go to like Thailand or anything like
it's
that.
It's
like
all green screen.
Yeah,
everything in this movie is fake. It's amazing. It really is. It's incredible. So we should talk about this Jack scene because almost nothing happens. But they've abandoned this. We don't really get. It's not a hospital. He's strapped to a table at an experimental scientific facility, and he's getting beefy arms because why not?
Yeah.
When Sonya sees him, she goes, what did you do now? And you're just like, no other questions. Right? You're good? You're good.
I think he referenced having been picked on in school or something. So he's overcompensating by turning himself into like Black Terminator.
But the dude is still huge.
Yeah, but he didn't need a metal arms.
Well, and
that was the whole plot. You don't need your metal arms.
Well, here's the thing. So like they kind of hinted on this in the new trailers and stuff like that, how he loses his arms. I think Sub-Zero freezes his arms. Makes sense, right? But you just decide to get these bionic arms on you.
They're not even really bionic arms. They're like some sort of exoskeleton
arms. Yeah.
Which is a lot.
Is this where the writers of Hobbs and Shaw got the idea from Brixton?
I want
to hope yes, but I doubt it. Because I like to think while that movie was awful too, it was... like Oscar caliber quality compared to Annihilation.
Just a bunch of people doing speed and be like, you know, it's a really smart movie. A real, really smart movie. Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
So these are movies that came out in 1997.
This is going to be sad.
We'll start with low. Okay, Batman and Robin, the one with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
But you know what? That you can tell where the money went in that movie.
Yes, it went to actually the actors.
Right. Yeah. Good Will Hunting. The Fifth Element.
Great movie. I love it.
Good movie.
Volcano and then Titanic.
This movie opened at number 6 in the box office and then went down from there.
Because
everybody probably walked out after the first 20 minutes, which I should have done, but I was like, I paid $6 for this. I am not walking out.
We're watching it for the show, man.
And it was bad.
I will watch this movie to go to bed. if I can. I will not count sheep. I will watch Annihilation.
I'm still trying to figure out the 2% of the people who gave it a favorable rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
Those were the people that were like, you know what? They had characters from the game. Boom.
Yeah, no.
The movie crew.
Typity.
Nightwolf was in this one.
Just like, oh my god. I mean, and we can get there, but like, the first real fight is Sub-Zero decides to fight alongside these guys, Kitana and Liu Kang.
Well, can someone explain to me how Sub-Zero was able to resurrect himself?
It's his brother.
What the heck? Is that in the video games? Later on,
there's an explanation about various members of Lin Kuei who have the power to actually, you know, like that Sub-Zero has with ice.
Gotcha. Yeah, and apparently it's genetic from his mom's side. And so Scorpion shows up.
Which again, does he have a brother or was that just the same dude that got his head chopped off the first one? Movie.
No, yeah, they just sliced him. Yeah,
they just sliced his head, be like, come back.
But you'd think he would come back again. He's gone.
And what's he's a more undead zombie thing anyway, though.
Yeah,
and
true.
I want to ask this, and I'm sorry, we'll go back to the movie. What's up with this harpoon? That's the little gremlin thing that comes out of his hands. Like, what?
Get over here!
Like,
yeah.
I thought it was a chain.
The Scorpion has the worst line in this whole movie in this scene.
Also. Another difference. So this had to be a different Scorpion, right? Because in the first movie, Scorpion shoots the harpoon out of his right hand. This one, he shoot it out of the left hand. I'm sorry I even brought that up. I was paying way too much attention.
Meanwhile, Chris is in his own like JFK style movie, back and to the left. Like it's just like a conspiracy. There's a bunch of pins on a bunch of boards.
It's a different Scorpion.
I just appreciate lefties being in movies.
Yeah. No doubt, but so bad.
So, like, literally, Sub-Zero fights Scorpion. Scorpion is kind of doing okay, and then he just kidnaps Kitana, which apparently is the whole plot.
Yeah, it was a whole thing that split everyone up, so he grabbed Kitana and teleport out.
Stuckers! And then, like, and you know you're in bed.
that was one of the unintentionally hilarious moments.
Yeah, it was. I will say, you know you're in trouble when Scorpion shows up, because the effects all look terrible.
Yes.
Like, from the thing coming out of his wrist to Sub-Zero's ice, right? Like, the fake ice bridge, sure, it's Legends of the Hidden Temple, but it's fine. But when he goes into this, like, I don't even know, it's like a Hawaiian Punch music video. Like, because there's like this splash of purple, and then they get sucked. I mean, he does say sucker, which is hilarious. But like, there is nothing. We're looking at literally nothing. And then Liu Kang's like, the plot just left. And he goes, well, all right. And then they just leave.
And then he goes off into, somehow he's in the Southwest, and he meets Nightwolf, and has like a vision quest. And
dude, yes. And then he nearly catches a BJ from Jade. That is such a, like, she's like, oh, I'm just wearing this nothing. Like, she shows up in a loincloth.
They kind of really, you would get canceled the way they talked to Jade in that movie.
Dude, yeah, because
even Raiden was like, hello. Jax is like, what's up? And I'm like, you just met her.
Dude, and he's like, my heart belongs to Kitana, and she goes, oh, like it's
like that. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's super sexual. And she goes, this was another test. Because Nightwolf says there's going to be 3 tests. The first one, he has this weird dream where he nearly turns into a dragon, which is his animality.
Oh, the way he said animality. You must find your animality. It sounds so bad.
Well, and they're eventually, the original term was bestiality. And then there was an edit. Then there was a very smart PA who said, no, animality is better.
You're going to find out what bestiality means here in a little bit. But
for real? Wouldn't surprise me if that was actually true.
Yeah. And then. He disappears and wakes up and it's snowing, and then all of a sudden Jade is making this like hardcore move on him, and it is a scene and a half. And then he's like, I can't love you, I love another. And she's like, all right, fight to the death then. And they just fight, and it's an okay fight. But yeah, I mean, trying to go through this movie is impossible because I don't even know where we go next, other than Jade just starts hanging out with people, and Jax, and that's the scene you were talking about earlier, where Jax and Sonya are like, who's she? Who's he? And they're just like, it doesn't matter. But this is Mortal Kombat 2.
Before that, we had the mud wrestling scene.
Ah, the mud wrestling
where
scene.
Where Jax has gotten so sick of all this weird crap Sonya's telling him that he huffs off.
Yeah.
And she gets jumped by Melina. And they have
the... Katana, you wish.
And they have the cat fight. And then Sonya kills her. And then meanwhile, this mysterious dragon tattoo that... that Melina has just
did they ever
CGI's
mention that? Because I keep, I, yeah,
it's,
I keep napping.
It's a passport teleport
to allow
space
outworlders
thingy.
To come to Earth.
Oh, that's nice.
By the way, I know this is a movie that came out in 97, so it doesn't matter. But like, they focus a lot on the Twin Towers when they're talking about is this Earth or is this Outworld? They're just like Golden Gate Bridge, two towers, and I'm just like.
Well, we right, can, like all the stock footage. I mean, you know what?
So when much stock footage.
Very much stock footage. To the point, guys, like, when I was watching this, I always thought to myself, okay, if Ed Wood was alive today, and if he decided to make a movie on a video game, this is exactly what it would look like.
Dude, and there's no color correction, so, like,
zero.
The sky over the Golden Gate is kind of foggy and hazy, and then they cut to New York, and it's not only that it's a clear day instead, but it's also, the color is brighter. It's just like they bought different qualities of
first half of the movie, the first like 20 minutes of the movie was purple.
Yes.
Dude, the sky turns purple-gray, and it is like a Prince video. It is something. It's just...
that beginning scene where all the generals lined up, if I just saw Prince with his guitar, I was like, it makes sense.
Yeah, no, we're there.
Totally.
I mean, I guess we should also mention here, Sindel, who's the Queen Sindel and the mother of Katana and Melina. There's the round table, and all the generals are there, and who is it? Rain?
Rain
is like, I nearly had Stryker and someone else.
Cabal,
who are also characters, but I let them live. And Shao Kahn murders the fucker. And Matoma's like...
In a scene just like in Austin Powers,
yes.
And he throws the guy in the fire pit.
Literally. Falls out of the chair and he's... Boom.
Yeah, there's apparently this whole plot where Stryker and Cabal are being used as slave labor in a mine and they're going to show up.
No kidding.
But they did.
I like Stryker. Stryker's like... He's a dude and he's like, you got a fireball? I got magic. Grenade. Like... I relate to.
Yeah, his fatality, just pulls a handgun out and shoots somebody.
Yeah. But, you know, it makes me wonder that how in the world did this movie, did they, like, when they were writing this, did they say, okay, you know what, we'll mention Stryker and Cabal, and we're not even going to talk about Kano.
Yeah.
Even though he was a prominent part of the first film, but we're not going to bring him back because, okay, he's dead, and he's dead for good, which... I took it as Michael Rooker's like, you know what, I am never doing another movie with you guys again.
Meanwhile, he's appearing in Macbeth somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's like, you know, I'll be the only
Michael
one who has a career.
Like Yondu Michael Rooker?
Michael Rooker was Kano in the first movie, so yeah.
The very Australian Kano in the first movie.
Yeah.
I'm trying to do an Australian accent for Yondu lines. It's not coming.
It's fine. You're fine. You're totally fine.
Still, yes, that
he makes a Mary Poppins joke and Sonya snaps his neck.
He's like, look at me, oh, I'm Mary Poppins.
And I'm like, okay. He doesn't do that in Mortal Kombat.
He turned out fine.
He turned out okay.
He's the only
Walker.
He's okay.
Nick, he's the only one who had a career from the first movie. Because everybody else, I mean, not really.
But what about Lyndon Ashby?
Or Christopher Lambert.
What does Christopher Lambert do? I mean...
I like Chris Lambert.
Yeah, because he was in the last Highlander movie.
He was.
It was like the, you know, McLeod versus
that's
McLeod
right.
thing.
That's right.
That first one is him against Sir Sean Connery. Like, that's awesome. That's a movie. That's a movie.
So...
Oh, no, he's not dead.
Hold on.
I take that back.
I'm trying
to say, I would remember that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to piece together this plot here.
No, there's no plot.
Well, at least how the storyline is going, you know what I mean? Like, because, again, I've watched this three times, napped in while I ever, and I always wake up in different variations. And
oh, my
even,
God.
No. But, yeah, I think Jax kicks the shit out of the CGI...
Cyrax? Well, Cyrax kicks the shit out of him. He spends the whole... Sonya fights off like 30 ninjas like his Black Widow and Iron Man 2.
Yes. Yep.
And meanwhile, Jax is just getting whooped by Sektor or Cyrax or whatever.
It was
and
Cyrax,
then,
yeah.
And then Sonya comes in and kills Cyrax.
And takes a handful of magic dust and incinerates him.
Yeah, so that they're making up for how useless she was in the first movie by instead making Jax the butt monkey.
Do you realize Sonya Blade was the only, like, you know what? I got to tell Boone and the other writers of Annihilation, if they really wanted to have as close to the video game as possible with the fight scenes and the angles that they shot it in, why was it that there was only one finishing move in the entire movie?
Yeah.
And that was Sonya Blade doing the slow-mo, blowing the kiss of death dust on Cyrax and blowing him up.
Because all the money went to those flips.
Dude.
Do you know how many flips are in this movie?
Oh my
God. Flips. Raiden has like 80.
That's true. And whenever they do it, there's like a weird lag behind them, so it looks like it's even more intense. Like they're like, again, it's like Johnny Cage's shadow kick at the beginning. Yes. Right? It's stupid. It's stupid city.
It looks bad.
It does. It all looks bad. And then so from here, Sindel is promoted to over Mataro. And Mataro, I mean, we can't even talk about, but like they give him like a mouth prosthetic, so he has crazy teeth, and he can't speak. He can't talk.
The dude from the Goonies, yeah.
Yeah.
He looks so bad.
He is awful.
Although he does have give Jax a good line of, Mr. Ed is mine.
It is. That happens.
Yeah, for the record, he's a centaur.
Yes. He is a centaur. Yes. And he has a CGI tail, which has been wrapping around. What's up?
By centaur, you mean half human, half horse?
Yeah.
Huh.
With like a demon tail.
Yeah.
And then...
And horns.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have Shiva show up, and she wants to also be the leader, but they instead make Queen Sindel General Sindel instead.
Yeah, and she and Motaro have like this racial thing going because they hate each other.
Oh, right? Yeah. Because, you know, the Gorgons absolutely hate the species that Motaro are. That's actually talked more about in the video game than they did here.
Dude, you are acting. You know this so well. And yeah,
the Shokan.
I'm so glad you're here because I know shit.
Yeah, the four-armed dragon people are the Shokan. What do they call the centaurs? They just call them centaurs?
They're not centaurs. It'll come to me in a second. But yeah, the Shokans are the four-armed people.
Yeah, for a brief second, we have subtext.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. But Matt, it was only mentioned in the video game, and they don't mention it here. It is an early scene when, obviously, Nick referred to where he's like, you know what, I can't trust either one of you, so I got to make Sindel the general of all my armies of Outworld.
Never mind, she's his wife, so nepotism.
Right. Of course. And, you know, and she's the undead. And
ooh, you know, even worse.
Of course. You know, but... The thing is that, like I said, referred to earlier, it was as if, you know, the makers of the game just literally gave Leonetti the, you know, a copy of the, you know, the Nintendo 64 version of Mortal Kombat 3, and it's like, this is the movie we want. And we're like, okay.
Yeah.
This is my directorial debut.
This is what, I have a vision for Mortal Kombat Annihilation. I won't tell you what it is because we'll figure it out as we go.
Well,
at one point, Raiden actually meets with the Elder Gods, and he's like, "You know, why was Shao Kahn allowed to break the rules?" And like, "Meh, because he can."
And then they make him sacrifice his immortality
in order to fight, which means he gets a different haircut
and just runs around
with supercuts.
And he runs around shirtless with a vest.
Of course, he's got to have the shirtless vest going.
Introduced by Phillips, mind you.
That's right. Everything's introduced by flips.
Well, hold on. Walk me through our Mortal Kombat experts. The family dynamic of Shai Khan, Raiden, and Shao.
Shinnok.
So, like, did they just hate each other, or they don't like Raiden because he's good?
So that storyline would come out after Mortal Kombat 3. So this was a thing that they decided on in the later video games, which was, okay, they're all going to be related.
Mm-hmm.
But beforehand, no, there was no known relations of Shao Kahn, Raiden, or Shinnok. Shinnok doesn't get introduced until Mortal Kombat 4 as a playable character. And, you know, that video game doesn't get introduced until the early 2000s.
Yeah.
So the thing is that, you know, it was just an opportunity to try to keep the market going, that, you know, all the video games that would come out, right, that you got to introduce characters. It's to the point now where they actually have Cassie Cage, who's the daughter of Johnny Cage and Sonya Blade as one of the characters starting, I believe, in like Mortal Kombat 9.
Xenomorph.
First of all, that doesn't count, right? Because we also have Jason Voorhees as well.
You're right.
Well, but it's a whole multiverse thing. You can do anything.
They'll do anything just, and you know, I'm sure, you know, it costs a pretty penny, but you know, it was well worth it for them to make these types of deals. But you know, if we're looking at specifically, you know, Mortal Kombat Annihilation, the film, I would like to say the only thing that came out of it that was somewhat positive is introduction of Shinnok as a playable character.
Yeah.
But that would come about like more than 5 years later. Some of the other ones too, like Fujin, who was like the, you know, god of the wind.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, like, introduced. Came out later because they wanted to bury that this ever happened. I mean, because it cost $30 million to make. It only made $50 million back, which means after advertising, it probably lost money.
Yes.
And so they're just like, oh no. We gotta hide this shit.
There was supposed to be a third movie.
And they canceled it immediately. But yeah, I mean, at this point, that's when the scene with Nightwolf happens. And, I mean, again, I'm going off a plot synopsis, but it goes, the third test was never revealed. Because half this movie, they forget about. Like, Animalities disappears for 60 minutes. The third test just never happens.
Well, maybe he does find, you know, as Nightwolf would, you know, find your animality. And then he turns to a bad CGI dragon and fights Shao Kahn as a bad CGI dragon. And
then he turns into a Hydra, and it doesn't make any difference.
It made no difference. The only difference was that my God, Shao Kahn's actually mortal. He could be hurt. And now he's crying to his daddy. And he's like, Father, how could you let this happen?
Dude, and again, see episode we just released when we're recording this, but in 300, I wanted to prove that a god could bleed. And you're just like, guys, this is not a movie. none of this matters. What are you doing?
Yeah, that is Shao Kahn, the evil god of multiple conquered planets conglomerated into one hell dimension, is a whiny little bitch.
Dude, and again,
yes,
Jax here is just punching the shit out of him, and Raiden's like, you know, you don't need those arms. And I know I keep doing Christopher Lambert instead of James Remar, who's like, hey, you know, you're fine without the arms.
Raiden at the beginning was like, you don't need anything, just use your human spirit, that kind of thing. You don't need technology, right.
By the way, if I had arms that made me four times stronger and I was fighting robots, I'd keep the fucking arms.
Thing that's like 1,000 pounds, Motaro's gotta be huge.
Dude, Motaro is a fucking CGI nonsense. When you're fighting a CGI nonsense, you keep the arms on. And then ultimately,
it's just an excuse to show off how ripped he is.
And he looks good. Right?
Yeah, no, he works out.
I mean, you know, if they remake, we're doing this, of course, because they remake it. I've seen the trailer. I haven't looked at the cast, but Michael Jai White should be playing Jax.
No.
Not that I know of.
No, there was just like this straight to like Patreon movie kind of internet
thing. Where they're all like cage fighters or something.
Something like that, where it was like a straight to like, it was like a studio film.
You're thinking of Undisputed 2.
Am I?
Well, there is a Mortal Kombat web series that came out at some point.
That's the Mortal Kombat internet.
Michael J. White played in a straight to video. A movie called Undisputed 2, which was was a direct-to-video sequel that starred. The first movie starred like Ving Rhames and Wesley Snipes as boxers in prison and who's the best and all this.
Sure.
And that's what I thought you were referring to.
Well, I remember.
If you haven't seen it, see Black Dynamite. He is so good in that movie.
I remember in high school there was like this trailer where the character Jax was interviewing. Like it was like a. He was a police officer in the interrogation room and stuff, and he was interviewing either Sub-Zero or Scorpion. And that's where it clicked to me that...
Oh, no, you were watching a Mad TV bit.
Was it? No.
I'm kidding.
Wouldn't surprise me if
that
it was.
That sounds like a Mad
it
TV bit.
It sounds like Ari Spears playing... Ari Spears playing, like, Jax and, like... I could definitely see that. Nicole Sullivan playing
Sonya Blade.
Yeah, Sonya Blade, right. And Michael McDonald playing Raiden. Yeah, I could definitely see that.
So the guy who's playing Jackson Newman is a guy named Makad Jason McKinley Brooks. Makad Brooks, maybe.
Yep, he is in the Super mm-hmm. Woman, Supergirl series, CBS.
He also started out as a Calvin Klein model, so underwear model specifically. So
good for him.
Yeah. I just hope this movie, from the trailer, it looks like it's R-rated, it looks like it's gonna actually be something. I'm just hoping it actually is.
Well, the South China Morning Post seemed to like it because it was released overseas earlier.
That's a sentence you just said.
No, it was originally supposed to be released on the April 16th.
It was.
But it got pushed back to the 23rd. I was telling you, Nick, I had to tell my brother-in-law. He was getting ready. He actually got dressed as Sub-Zero.
Really?
I was like, dude.
It's next week.
It's cosplay. Next week. Because, like, I think in the first trailer that they had, April 16th is what they had.
I'm sure.
So he just saved that date and didn't watch any other trailer because that first Red Band trailer was awesome, especially with Sub-Zero. Slices Scorpion, freezes his blood, and kills.
Well, he does the Sub-Zero and just puts a cross.
Yes.
Yeah, no, it's good. And he apparently, this guy, Makad Brooks, was in something called Magic the Gathering. The musical.
Oh my god.
You know what? I'm fine. I'm totally fine.
Are you though?
What are we going to talk about? The movie fucking ends. There's a big fight scene between our main characters.
Eventually they have everyone choosing who they're going to fight. So Katana fights with her mom. And like, kicks her in the head. It's like, is that how you treat your mother?
Right.
And then Jack's like, I'm taking Mr. Ed.
And he fights Mataro. And he takes off his arm strengtheners. And then just punches a horseman.
And still out, like, you know, like he's like right out of Blazing Saddles. I mean, he was Mongo.
Blazing Saddles. Sonya fights Ermac, who then pukes up Noob Saibot. They both start whooping on her until Jax has to come save her. So then meanwhile, Liu Kang throws down the Shao Kahn.
And Raiden dies, but then is later revived, and then is invited to be one of the Elder Gods.
Do you realize also, y'all? So I know, Nick, you mentioned costumes earlier. That pretty much outside of Raiden, when he goes into human form, nobody actually has a costume change in the entire movie.
That's right.
Well, Sonya somehow goes from being muddy and nasty to perfectly clean.
Again, yeah. Would she find like another A-shirt to wear?
Oh, yeah, like she's got three identical outfits stashed away somewhere.
I remember she said, I need to find a lake. And I'm like, where are you?
No.
You're in the middle of the desert.
Where? You're in the middle of the desert.
Where do you find a river?
Well, I was
that like, was so random. Like, I need to find a river? Really? Like not I need a shower. But I also like the fact that we're introduced to all these characters who don't matter. Like, you'd think in the final fight, Light would come back.
Yes.
Right? Like, we could have a Nightwolf fight. Nope, he's just gone. I'm like,
yeah, at least with Jade, they killed her off.
Yes.
Right, but they explained that. And by the way, we say kill. Like, Scorpion in that first one gets a super death, right? He gets the punch and he lands on the spikes, right? Like, that's how you kill a character. Here people are just like, oh no! And they faint.
Well, they feed Jade to a CGI wall monster.
Oh, gosh. Yes.
Oh, my God.
Was that supposed to be Reptile back?
I don't know.
If that's Reptile, he's been juicing, because that thing is huge.
Time. It shows up four times.
It's like Super Reptile.
Because at one point, Jax also punches the damn thing in the face.
That's true.
And then you're just like, what's happening?
Was the first Mortal Kombat movie rated R?
Nope.
No.
Also PG-13.
Yeah, because I was allowed to see it in fourth grade as like a special thing.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, my God.
Well, if it was rated R, that would not have happened.
I know. He tells these stories, and I'm just like...
Well, we probably won't really get into that huge CGI fight because it just...
There's nothing.
But I will poise
it
you
sucks.
This. I will poise you this. Now, are you guys familiar with the movie Dungeons & Dragons?
Yeah, sure. The one with
Jeremy Irons?
Scott Wayne.
One of the Wayne's.
Marlon Wayne's.
Yeah.
Now, which dragons looked better? The ones in Dungeons & Dragons or the one in this Mortal Kombat Annihilation?
If you remember...
Well, I never saw Dungeons & Dragons, so I can't
guys, I can't really say, because I've never seen the film either.
Nick? I will say that one, it was probably Dungeons & Dragons.
Because the movie's called Dungeons & Dragons.
Well, because it was the one thing you had to do.
Right. Dragons.
Right. Yeah. But there's so much random CGI here, because it's all green screen nonsense, that they just kept, like... There's also those little... We mentioned earlier, but those little passport badges that... Like Rhizoc
tattoos,
and then just
like a bad CGI laser beak from the Transformers on someone's arm.
Yeah, but you could also just have a tattoo that disappears.
Yeah,
but they're just like, what if it also hissed? And you're just like, that man needs a promotion. No, fire him. This is all awful. Like, I'm sure there was one dude who had to do all the CGI, because it doesn't seem like this was not a team. And this came out 2 years after Toy Story. Just file that away. They knew how to do it at this point. Right? This is just good money going after bad. Maybe this is where all the money went. Like, CGI, they fleeced them. They fleeced them good.
I mean, $30 million in 1997. I mean, nowadays, that would be a low-budget indie film. And, you know, about a third of it would go to, say, like, Willem Dafoe.
Yeah, yeah, right.
You know.
Do you know how much the budget of Toy Story was?
What?
$30 million.
Really? That's it. You won. You made it to the episode. There's nothing else to talk about.
No, I believe you. I believe you, but my God, that's ridiculous.
I mean, again, that must have been some choice nose candy.
And we're talking about like Tom Hanks and Tim Allen, who are in this film.
Right, and well. I'm sure that movie took 5 years to make.
Oh, right, yeah.
Or 3 years. At least they say Cars took at least, an animation movie takes a lot, 3 years.
Oh, sure. And I mean, that's all that, who was the, it was Steve Jobs at the time who was funding the whole thing.
He was funding the whole thing, yeah.
Oh, God, help me. That tells the whole story, doesn't it?
Right. Once again, because I really want to talk to you guys about Brian Thompson.
Let's bring up Thompson.
Why in the world was this movie, how in the world does this movie have $30 million budget with nobody's in the cast, no big director or anything, and you're telling me that this is the best they could do? Like, if fight Cyrax and the warriors of Outworld, and Cyrax blows up the medical facility.
Right.
That was the worst fire scene I have ever seen in my life.
Is it the only fire scene in the movie, if you think about it?
All the random people who die, like in, like, you know, if Dr. Evil killed him in
right, because you think about that, because remember, the generals are coming down on these like fireballs that are coming from like Super Mario Brothers.
Dude,
CGI meteors.
Yeah.
Well, and again, like,
they are so fake, and I'm like,
dude. Looks like something from an 80s cannon for like $30,000 could blow up a building. Like, yes! Does it actually blow something up? Something that's real.
It's like, it's really like if like Leonetti was just spiritually kidnapped by Ed Wood. He's like, this is what we're going to do.
How much would making this animated have cost? Like 1990s Spawn animated series in HBO.
Probably less than 10, right? It's got to cost at least less than, if Toy Story 95 cost $30 million, the same much as this. It's got to cost less than $10 million.
Yeah, hand-drawn animation, you know, you ship it off to Korea, you can do it. Like
South Park. Like, they could have done
that. Imagine South Park-style Mortal Kombat. Like,
why not?
It would have been a better film than this.
It would look hideous.
This doesn't look very good.
No, I mean, this was not impressive at all. I mean,
we described the costumes as porn parody level, man. Like, that's
what I mean, look at what Sindel was wearing, and look at what, like, Katana was wearing, and Melina was wearing, and Jade.
Katana's outfit looks like it matches up with the first movie. Sindel looks like she's wearing a leotard.
She's clearly wearing a leotard.
Straight from the 70s gym space.
What you had said about Shiva as well, like,
it's just nothing.
I mean, what the hell was that?
It's like two big strips of red duct tape.
Basically. I mean, you know, I gotta tell you, like, the first time I saw Borat, that's what I thought about was Queen Shiva. And I'm like, oh my God, he's wearing the Queen Shiva, like,
the slingshot thong. Yeah.
Well, I wonder if she, because, like, obviously there wasn't a lot of budget, and Queen Shiva was in this movie for, like, 30 seconds, Queen Shiva. I wonder if, like, her extra arms were held together by, like, fishing wires.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just to make sure, because I think...
Because
in the first movie...
Goro.
What's the character's name?
Goro.
Goro. For me, I remember watching the first movie. I watched this movie on a tube, literally a tube TV.
Sure, all day.
And I remember, like, yo, that is, like, the greatest... like thing ever.
Poor man.
And I mean, come on. I have a very innocent mind, you know.
Sure, sure.
This is awesome. And then he gets kicks in the balls and stuff. But like, segueing off to the character now, I just felt like they put prosthetics in the fishing wire.
Goro in the first movie looks like he might have had two jacked guys, one standing behind the other.
Yeah,
with a set of arms.
Yeah.
Well, it looked decent, like something was real.
Well, and
Shiva just looks crappy.
Well, and I will say too, you can notice that like the reason that Sonya and Jax are actually able to be physical is because their costumes allow them to be. Like,
right.
Like Sindel barely moves when she fights because that's just gonna all fall apart.
True. One last thing before we start on Brian Thompson.
Dude, start Brian Thompson.
No, man. But this is important. So, not just the costume changes, y'all, but you remember in the first movie, Sonya was actually wearing a tactical outfit the entire time.
Right.
Except when she got kidnapped.
Yeah, when she got kidnapped and was, when she was, being like perved on by Shang Tsung big time. And the thing is that why in the world in the entire movie she's wearing like Daisy Dukes and an athletic shirt.
Maybe that's all they had.
No bra whatsoever.
Maybe that's why all they had in the Shaolin Temple. She didn't want to wear that stripper outfit anymore. Yes, we're all a bunch of men here, but we have something.
We're like, okay, you can wear a wife beater, and we got some real like kid shorts you can wear. Okay,
that's right.
And that's exactly what she's wearing.
Just for that mud fighting scene.
Just for that one scene, right?
Yeah, just for the mud fighting scene.
And poor Sandra Hess, who's a professional model. Well, at that point, she was a professional model, and like this was like one of her first films, and I told Nick earlier in the week, I thought like, okay. What would happen if we got a bunch of stuntmen and stuntwomen and models in movie?
That's it.
Mortal Kombat.
And that's exactly what we got. And we're like, wow, okay, acting really does take some talent. Mm-hmm. Because the entire time I'm watching this, I'm like, wow, these people really can't act. I mean,
script sucks ass too, pardon my language.
You're right, and it didn't help, but they were not selling anything at all.
You know, they were terrible. Like, none of these people are actors, and it's very clear, except for...
What about Brian Thompson?
Okay, Brian Thompson.
He's awful in this.
How in the hell was this guy allowed to have a career that lasted over a decade?
Just don't let him talk, because he's just a big dude. But he has to carry this movie on that giant back of his, and it's a shame.
Okay, so you mentioned earlier before Cobra, which is one of my favorite bad movies.
Cobra's great.
For me, Cobra like really represents everything about Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah.
In that, okay, it's going to be bad. He has to fund it or direct it himself. Mm-hmm. He's going to include his favorite people like Brigitte Nielsen. Because at that time, I think they were going out. I don't know if they were married yet, but... he includes Brian Thompson, and you mentioned earlier in the cast that all he does is like call people pig in a very deep, scary voice.
Pig.
Yeah, and that's all he does. And like, okay, it works there. It worked in Lionheart, where he plays the lady's helper, trying to convince Jean-Claude Van Damme to fight, and he only has like three total lines, but he's believable as a bodyguard.
Same in the Terminator. He's in it for 45 seconds.
If that.
Yeah.
And the thing is that I'm like, all right, Brian Thompson can have a role as a bodyguard as long as he just doesn't talk. And this is what happens if you give him more than one line.
Put him in a ninja suit and have him play one of those guys.
And, that might have been better, but, he makes, William Shatner look like an Academy Award nominated actor. He's so bad in how he stunts his...
He was in a Star Trek movie. He was actually in a Star Trek, so
which is why I brought it up, by the way. But he's like, "Yeah, let's be gone," and I'm like, "Okay."
He was also in Three Amigos and Joe Dirt.
He was in Joe Dirt. That's funny.
Because wasn't he supposed to be the parody of Buffalo Bill and Joe Dirt?
He's Bob Buffalo Bob.
Which kind of like now I think about Silence of the Lambs, I'm like, okay, that kind of does resemble Brian Thompson.
Yeah.
It rubs the Mortal Kombat on the skin, or else it gets the budget cuts again.
I mean, it makes me wonder. How in the hell does this guy have a career? He's not particularly good looking. He's not very charismatic.
He's a buff white dude.
Yeah, that's all he is. And
he can either do this or porn.
That's right.
or pro wrestling.
I don't know if he would have had... I don't know if he could actually sell the moves in pro wrestling, though, to be honest with you.
No.
I think he's a bad actor who somehow probably is a very nice man, which is why he keeps getting roles. He hasn't, he's not Mickey Rourke or Kathleen Turner, so... Or, some of these other people, Katherine Heigl, that a lot of people just hate to work with. And they're like, okay, you know what? We can find somebody else for a lot less money, and we'll just go with that. I mean, I'm sure Brian Thompson's not making, George Clooney-type money here during this time period. But you're right. Why in the world? Like, what was Leonetti and the producers and New Line thinking when they were like, hey... Yeah, let's have Brian Thompson play Shao Kahn.
The only thing he can do is fight. Like, I believe him as a fighter, but that's kind of it, right? And he has It's like a Tim Burton movie. Like, his face is part of the character, right? Because he's got, like, a distinct look to him.
He does have a distinct look.
And he's wearing a stupid fucking helmet for half of this.
Which is made of rubber, looks like a Halloween costume.
Dude, it is the cheapest.
It is a Halloween
like,
costume.
Like, you'd expect Shao Kahn to have, like, a real skull.
With $30 million, you could buy some skull.
Now that you guys mentioned it, you know what the props really look like from the Katana's fans to Shao Kahn's mask? It looked like it was made by people in community theater.
That's right. This is a high school production.
That's exactly what it looks
they
like.
They spray painted Jax's arms with like the PCP
pipes. You know,
pipes
they got some silver paint from Sherwin-Williams and just went to town on it.
That's right.
And somebody actually took the time to make that prop, which is why, like, even when Mataro rips it off, you're like, oh, wow. I thought it would be so much more than that, but no, it's just... what'd you say? Arm condom.
That's right.
That's exactly what it was, and it had all the consistency of a condom too.
Yeah, that's right.
It was so easy to just rip off like that. Yeah. It wasn't really part of his body.
Yep.
And it made no sense whatsoever. Okay, it's supposed to make you like so much more, so much stronger, and then you know, he's punching Mataro at the end before he goes helps out Sonya, like. He's Mongo from, you know, Blazing Saddles, and suddenly he's knocked out. But yeah, this movie was beyond problematic. But like, if somebody asked me, okay, what is one way to try to describe it, and the cast specifically, I would say, okay. For me, the way I thought of it is like everybody in the cast. Think of like everybody in like the former President Trump's cabinet.
Okay.
And if they all had roles. And some of them you feel sorry for, like Robin Hsu, and everybody else, they're just awful and bad at their jobs.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what we had here. And the thing is that, you know, thank God none of these people are really allowed to act again, and most of them have retired. I think you said one of them decided to be a high school teacher.
Well, for a while, now he's back into acting, I think.
God. Okay. Well, I'm glad he landed back on his feet, but, you know, the thing is...
Now imagine Herman Cain with, like, robot arms.
There you go.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. Oh, just Sessions
you can make
play.
That terrible pizza faster.
Sessions has to be, like... You know, that's a good question.
What would Jeff Sessions be in a Mortal Kombat game?
Fighter.
He would be Striker. He would just pull out a gun and start shooting people.
And you know what? He's never seen at all. So they just mention him off screen.
Yeah.
So yeah, like, I would obviously, like, Mike Pompeo would be, like, Mataro. You know, and, you know, think of, like, you know, Betsy DeVos as, like, you know, I guess she would be Melina. Maybe Sindel, I don't know. But yeah, it's just... It was just bad. Like, okay, let's get a whole bunch of people who are not qualified to do this at all.
Who's John Kelly? Is he just sitting there in the corner with his face palming?
I can see Mike Pence as Raiden with the white hair.
Yeah. That's easy.
Selling out. Yeah. Absolutely.
I guess I gotta help them.
Yeah, you gotta help them, so... And then he gives his life, and then somehow, you know, comes back from the dead.
He's resurrected appropriately enough.
So yeah, and just like and Shao Kahn clearly is Donald Trump, where he thinks he's in charge, but
No, first of all, you're wrong. Shao Kahn is Don Jr. And the dad is behind him, like, I'm not going to be in this movie, but you'll fix Jared Kushner, you go fix the Middle East.
Can you imagine Donald Trump competently karate fighting though?
No,
you know, but I can imagine him fast forwarding through Bloodsport to just get to the fight scenes, which is something he said he did.
So like earlier, Nick had said something about like you're not a big fan of professional wrestling. There was less than a decade ago, Donald Trump, who by the way is very good friends with Vince McMahon,
of course he is,
had a bet. Where, okay, whoever loses will have to shave their head. And it was at WrestleMania. And WrestleMania obviously just occurred, which is one of the reasons why I bring this up.
Yeah.
And they had two guys fighting, and Trump's guy, which was played by Bobby Lashley, who's a champion and also was a real-life MMA fighter, won.
Yeah.
Now, Donald Trump, at the end of WrestleMania, was supposed to attack Vince McMahon and, like, literally have his head shaved. I could tell, by the way, Donald Trump threw a punch. He had never been in a physical altercation before.
No, of course not.
It wasn't even close.
Not even.
No, and I'm thinking, oh my god. And like, I remember watching that with one of my friends. I'm like, that dude has never been in a fight before. It's like, why?
He's never even wiped his own ass before. What do you think he's making?
No, probably not. But the thing is that, yeah, I just can't see him as Shinnok, because Shinnok's actually a good character in the video game.
Yeah, but he doesn't do anything in this movie.
That's true. He really doesn't.
He runs around with a black cloak and hood, like a Mystery Science Theater 3000 character. Or
yeah.
Death from
Family Guy.
And Ted.
Dude, you know, although if you futz with a decade, it would be a great W versus George H.W.
kind of situation. You know what? I think that would actually be more fitting.
Now, son, if I gotta come out there, you're gonna be kicked out of Outworld. Now, son. Thanks, Chris. Nor, what's your final thoughts?
Yeah. In this magic school bus, Windows 98, porn acting, dream annihilation of a movie, I find myself seeing that I didn't like it. And I can honestly, and the many times I've been on this podcast, I've normally like fought tooth and nail with you guys saying, oh, this is a good movie, this is a good movie. But I think we're all in agreements. Of a movie of my childhood, that this movie was trash, and I will never watch it again. But I'm looking forward to the new one coming out.
Sure, Matt.
I'm looking forward to the new one coming out because that looks cool.
Yes,
this was entertaining, but it was unintentionally hilarious because how bad the script and acting were.
Sure,
and it's just, I guess, see it once if you want to just. You have something entertaining to watch on your Kindle when you're in the elliptical at the gym, and then just forget about it because it's stupid. Stupid.
I will say this is a seeing is believing. I've never seen anything as bad before, right? This is one where you like get a bunch of buddies over, you have some drinks, and you watch the worst movie you've ever seen. Like, there's no... Like, because usually there's at least something. Like, we did Spawn before, and it's bad, but the main actor can act, right? Like... There's just nothing to... This movie is a vapor, as Matt said. It disappears the second you start thinking about it. I'll probably see the new one. It's R-rated. Looks like it'll be fun. But this movie is not a movie. It's just a goings-on. But with that, we're out of time. So stay tuned next week and every future week. We're going to put some of these movies on trial, man. Thanks.